We praise you so much for all the goodness you pour out in our lives. Your greatness is seen from every flower that blooms, from every drop of rain and every snowflake, from everything that shines on the sun and the moon at night. God, how we thank you so much for your greatness and your glory today. And God, we do want to praise your name today. Lord, we praise you even though there are some dark times in our church with people going through some very difficult physical health issues, struggles in jobs and relationships and all kinds of problems we can face. Lord, yet in all of that, we can still praise you because you never leave us and you never forsake us, that you are a very present help in time of trouble. So God, we with all of our hearts want to be a people of praise today. And as we come to your word today, Lord Jesus, we truly want it to be that which speaks. It is living and active, Lord, it says itself, and it comes after us. It speaks to our hearts, our minds, our life. And so, God, I pray today that we would have open ears and open hearts to not just be hearers of this word, but truly, as maturing Christians, be doers of that word. God, your goodness and grace is all around us. May we celebrate it today as we come to your word. In the saving, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to turn back to the Old Testament here to the book of Psalms, and we're going to read through Psalm 145. Psalm 145. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew there. You can turn to page 638, and there you will find Psalm 145. Psalm 145. So Psalm 145 begins this, a psalm of praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of your majesty, of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. So recently, with the upcoming wedding of our daughter at the end of April, Janelle and I have been taking dance lessons. And so that is so that I will not look as dorky as I really am. on the dance floor. And it has been interesting, to say the least, if not really very humorous. But I'm trying. And at our last dance lesson, our instructor said something very interesting. No, it was not, give it up, Greg, you're not going to be able to do this. But she said this. She said, practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Now she said that in the context of us needing to practice a lot, because it doesn't come naturally to us to have these steps. But she also said in the context of, if you practice it the wrong way, then it will become permanent in your dance. Don't practice the wrong moves that become permanent. Now, I've been pondering her statement all week long. And here's what I would say about what she said. I would say that practice may not make perfect, but certainly practice does make improvement. I think of the story of the great cello player Pablo Casals. He was in his 90s when he was interviewed. And in the interview, he told the interviewer that I practice several hours a day. Even though I'm in my 90s, I keep practicing. And the interviewer said to him, Mr. Casals, you are one of the world's greatest cellists. Why do you practice like that? To which Pablo Casals responded, because I think I'm getting better. Practice indeed does make us better. But practice also can make something permanent. And if we do it correctly, it's a good thing that we get it ingrained in us. So if I could rephrase what our instructor said, I would say this. Practice can make more perfect, bring improvement, and it can make permanent. Now, both of those statements fit with what we're looking at here in our study called Moving Toward Maturity. We're talking about becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. And as we talk about moving toward maturity, the last few weeks, we've been talking about developing or having healthy spiritual habits. Healthy spiritual habits, which I defined as patterns of behavior and character that we repeat often in order to ingrain them in our lives to move toward maturity. They help us grow in Christ. For example, we've talked about the healthy spiritual habit of studying Scripture, of being in the Bible. We've talked about the healthy spiritual habit of being people who are always in prayer. And last week, Pastor John did a great job of having the healthy spiritual habit of making disciples of other people in our lives. And so today we turn to another healthy spiritual habit to practice to improve and make more permanent in our lives. I want to look today at the healthy spiritual practice or habit of practicing praise. Practicing praise. And I'm really excited to share this with you today because I think this is one of the ways that God truly moves us toward maturity in Christ. One of the ways that God truly calls us as Christians to grow in our faith is through praise. Jesus said in John 4:23, the Father seeks people to worship him or praise him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking us to be people of praise. So we look at this healthy spiritual habit of practicing praise by looking today at Psalm 145. And I love this psalm for a lot of reasons, but two things. One is it's a great psalm of exhortation to teach us to praise God. It says clearly you need to be praising the Lord. But it also is a great example of what does that praise look like. This is a psalm that David writes here. You'll notice the superscription at the top of the chapter. It says a psalm of praise of David. The word psalm, by the way, means song. So it's a song of praise of David that he wrote 1,000 years before Jesus. And what is really significant is that this is the last of 73 psalms that we have of David in the book of Psalms. This is the last psalm that we have put into the scriptures here that are from David. And it seems so appropriate that this should be the way that David ends his writings, to focus on praise. One author said that this is a fit summary of all David had learned about God during a lifetime of following hard after the Almighty. This is a theme that David keeps coming back again to over and over again, to be in praise to God. And he does that through the entire Psalms, as do the Psalms themselves. In fact, praise is so important in the book of Psalms itself that the last five books of Psalm 146 through 150, they all begin with praise and they all end with the word praise. For instance, look at verse 1 of 146. It begins with praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And it ends with verse 10. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So they begin and end with that focus on praise. So there's no doubt in my mind that David was a man who had the healthy spiritual practice of praising God. And I want to look at that this morning. Let's begin with that by looking at defining praise. What do we mean by praise? Defining praise. Now, the word praise here in the Hebrew is the word hallel. We are most familiar with its form when we say hallelujah. We sing it all the time. We say it all the time. Hallelujah. The first part is the word for praise. The second part is the name of God, Yahweh. And so it literally means praise be to God. Hallelujah means praise be to God. And that word praise is used 123 times in the book of Psalms. It means to shine, to make a show, or to boast about something. Shine, make a show, or to boast. Now, in the New Testament, the most common word for praise is the word worship. And the Greek word for worship means to bow down in homage, to bow down in homage, to worship. It is actually literally used of a dog licking its master's hand in a sense of homage or affection to the master. Our English word worship comes from the old contraction of the English worthship, worthship. And it was actually used in Old England as a title. You would call somebody who's a noble your worthship. It's carrying the idea of honoring, esteeming, praising, making worthy the person that you are honoring. So in that sense, praise is to acknowledge or bow down to, or to make a show of, or to amplify and stress the worth or the status of someone, to exalt their status. Now that begs the question, if you're going to exalt, if you're going to lift up somebody like that, who are you lifting up? Which is the second point I want to make. And that is not only how we define praise, but what is the direction of our praise? What is the direction of our praise? And clearly, we are told here in Scripture, our praise is of, for, and to God. It's of, for, and to God. Many years ago, I had a dear friend of mine who was a real estate appraiser in Southern California. And he would go out and he would determine the value of a house. He would make appraisals in the neighborhood. And so one day he was out in the neighborhood appraising a house, looking at the value of it. He was across the street from it, taking pictures and notes about the house. And a little girl came up to him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm appraising that house over there." And the little girl said with big eyes, "Oh no, you shouldn't praise houses. You should only praise God." She was right. As believers in Christ, we are devoted followers who are praising God. Notice how David begins the psalm in verse 1. "I will extol you, my God, O King." The word extol there means to be high or exalted. It literally means to lift up in honor. David says, "I will honor you, God." And notice, by the way, David is the king, and yet he recognizes there's a bigger king than him. You, God, are the true king. David takes us in the direction of praise to, from, and of God. You'll notice as you read through the psalm this morning, the pronoun you, your, and yours, did you notice that going through the psalm? 24 times in the psalm, David uses you, your, or yours, because he's saying the ultimate direction is not me. The ultimate direction of praise is the Lord our God. So to define worship and praise again, it is this. It is to acknowledge or bow down to amplify or to show worth and to stress the worth, the status of the person of God. As one Christian author said, praise or worship is our engaging ourselves with, dwelling upon, and expressing the greatness, beauty, and goodness of God through thought, words, and symbols. It is ascribing worth to God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The late great pastor James Boyce said, praise is acknowledging God to be what he truly is, the sovereign, holy, just, righteous, merciful, awesome, majestic God we discover him to be in scriptures. Praise is directed to God. David says in verse 3, great is the Lord and highly to be praised. He concludes in verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. We move toward maturity in praising God when we know that the direction of our praise is always to God. But that leads to the third point, and that is, as we direct our praise to God, the content of our praise to, of, and for God. What are we praising God for? And this is why I love Psalm 145, because he gives us examples of how we can be about praising God, things to praise God for. For instance, in verse 3, he praises God for his greatness. Praise God for his greatness. No other person, no supposed being, no philosophy, nothing in creation is greater than our God. In verse 5, notice he praises God for his majesty. Again, notice how David keeps using words that are ascribed to him as a king, and he applies them to God. You know, I'm a majestic king, but God is the majestic King of kings and Lord of lords. He praises him for his works and his acts. In verse 5, he says, on your wonderful works I will meditate or think about. Verse 6, he says, I praise God for the power of your awesome acts, that God works in amazing ways in our lives. In verse 7, he praises God for his abundant goodness. And then down in verses 15 to 16, he points out that that goodness is not just to people who believe in him. That goodness is called common grace that God gives to all people. In verse 15, he says he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Common grace is expressed throughout the scripture that God gives, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, that the sun on the good and the evil, he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Everybody gets to benefit from that goodness of God, providing food, clothing, and shelter. God provides. I saw someone said one time that God has not forgotten the recipe for manna. He continues to give and bless and to provide. He also, verse 8, praises God for his grace and his mercy. Look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. He's paraphrasing the most oft-quoted Old Testament scripture is Exodus 34:6, where God proclaims, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. David says, one of the things I praise God for is his mercy and his kindness. As one Christian author said, that God would show mercy and be gracious to those who have spurned his rightful authority and even murdered his own son when he came to earth to save us for our sins. God showed us the amazing mercy of grace. And by the way, David totally understood that grace and that mercy. In verse 14, he praises God that he sustains us in our falls, and he helps those who are bowed down. The broken by grief, the discouraged by failure, those bowed down by the worries of the world, they are lifted up through God. He praises God in verse 17 for his righteousness, his kindness, and all his deeds. Verse 18, he praises God for his nearness to all who call upon him in truth. He hears their cries in verse 19. And verse 20, he keeps those whom he loves. It's no wonder that at the end of the psalm, David says, "My mouth will praise and speak the praise of the Lord." For all these things, he says, "I praise God." That is the content of our praise. So in light of that, I want to look at this morning what we should consider in practicing our praise. What are the things that we should consider in our praise as Christians based on David's model here to us? So the first thing is to consider the content, as David did, of our praise. He had this certain content. What is the content of our praise? In what ways do we praise God for? And again, David gives us an example. For instance, we are to praise God for the greatness of his creation. When you see that first crocus come up in spring and winter is ending, you praise God. As you hear of somebody expecting a baby that God is forming in the womb, you praise God for that. As you see the stars at night and look at the wonder of our universe, as you see our bodies and how we function in amazing ways, as we see our heart beating, as we take each breath, we praise God. We praise God in his creation. I love this quote from a theologian, old John Bailey, who said, "God forbid that when all thy creatures are greeting the morning with songs and shouts of joy, I alone would wear a dull and sullen face. All of creation is singing praise to God. I should join in." We also consider the content of our praising God for his works, his acts, his provision daily in our lives. When my dad was alive, one of the things he often would do before we pray at meals, especially at Thanksgiving, it seemed, he would stop before we prayed and he would point out how beautiful the food looked. And he would talk about how God has abundantly provided for us. I hated it. I wanted to eat. But he kept saying, "Look what God has given to us." Consider the content of praising God for his works, his action, every paycheck, and every promotion from God. The blessing of your family and friendships, the healing of our bodies, the rest of a night's sleep, even at the time change. To see his works of care and kindness and awesome acts in our lives, praise God for those things. To celebrate his goodness to us. I love that we sing the song, "God, you are good, good, oh so good." Look at verse 7. There's an interesting thing here to notice about giving praise to God for his goodness. In verse 7, David writes that we will speak eagerly uttering the memory of your abundant goodness. Eagerly uttering the memory of your abundant goodness. That phrase, "eagerly utter," literally means to bubble over. And I love that thought, that we are to eagerly bubble over in praise to God for his goodness to us. Someone said, "God's gracious actions are not only etched into ancient history, they are engraved into our personal history." It's relevant to us because I praise God for his goodness. I practice the content of praise in mercy and grace because God's given it to me. Never, ever forgetting that he has given us, friends, the greatest gift of all time in salvation in Jesus Christ. There is no greater gift to praise him for. Lost, now found. Blind, but now see. He saved a wretch like me. That should give us praise every day to God, to practice praise for his presence, his care in our falls and our failures, to praise him that he's forgiven you today and tomorrow in his faithfulness, that he's given us a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, and it goes on and on, that he is a very present help in time of trouble. The list could go on. The content of our praise can contain these things as we give praise to God. Consider the content. What are you praising God for? But I would also invite you to consider the methods of praising God. If that's the content, what are the methods? How do I go about giving praise to God? We've already talked about one key way is through praying. To pray and through the prayer, give thanks to God. But I'd also mention to you that one of the ways that God's given us to give praise to him is to give worship and praise through singing. Through singing, through music that God has coupled with words to praise him. Remember, Psalm 145, as are all the Psalms, are songs first. There's 150 of them in Scripture. In verse 7, it says, shout joyfully of his righteousness. That's kind of like the idea of giving three cheers for somebody. Hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. That's what it means. To shout joyfully to God. But the word there that's used in the Hebrew is also translated to sing or to sing aloud for joy. He says we're to sing aloud and praise God in song. Psalm 66:1 says, shout joyfully to God, all the earth, sing the glory of his name. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Psalm 95, verse 1, oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 135, 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. We're to sing. But it's not just in the Old Testament that that's emphasized. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, Paul writes, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Individually, God calls us to have a song in our heart. It doesn't matter if you're a good singer or not, or the best at music. It's the idea that I want to sing to God. I want to let that praise come to God about him, for him, of him, and to him. We sing individually, but we also gather together to sing corporately on a Sunday morning. We gather to give praise to God in our worship service. Why do we spend so much time on worshiping God in song and music? Because God calls us to it. And let me say this clearly. That singing, that worship to God in that time is not an add-on. We're not just killing time to get to the sermon. It is praise and worship and adoration of God. This time is critical to say, God, we praise you so that we can hear your word. God says, use instruments. Read Psalm 150 next time you don't like the drums or the guitar. Read it. This gives me an opportunity, by the way, to express something that's important. And that is gratitude to our worship teams that help us praise God. And I've often thought about a worship team in the sense that they are not performers. They are not up here saying, look at me, I can sing or play an instrument. They are like tour guides. You ever been to like Yosemite or Yellowstone or something, and they point out the great part of God's creation? Let's say that the person is pointing out to you Old Faithful, and they take you over there. I've never seen anybody look at the tour guide. They're looking at Old Faithful, right? Because the tour guide is getting out of the way so that they can worship or they can adore and see God's creation. I want to just give a huge thank you for the efforts of our worship team in the last few months. It is tough. They're working without a leader, although Darlene, God bless you, you're doing a great job. Yay, Darlene. We are keeping it together. But thank them, because it's hard. But what they're doing is simply what God's called us to do, is to lead us in corporate worship, to praise, to sing, to give music to Him. Now, there are other methods you can use. You can read the Word of God and praise. You can give to praise God. You can serve to praise God. You can sacrifice. You can hear sermons. You can bow down. You can kneel. You can lift hands. There's many methods to praise God. But the methods may vary, but the praise does not. And ultimately, those methods are not our worship. They are only the means that lead us to worship. Keep in mind that worship to God is a matter of our heart, not performance. Mark Roberts, in his book, After I Believe, wrote, "God does not observe our worship in a distant way. He is not a picky audience that demands perfection or a heavenly drama critic who sits back to judge the show. Rather, God," I love this, "is like a doting parent watching his children in the school play." You done that? You don't care how bad they are, how much they stick out like a sore thumb. You're just glad that they're doing their best for you. That leads to some practical lessons that I want to share in closing. Here's some practical lessons in praising and practicing praise. Number one, praise is to be daily and not just on Sundays. It's to be daily and not just on Sundays. Notice David says in verse 2, "Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever." Again, this goes to the content of our praise, being aware of what's around us. Look at your circumstances. Look at your events. Look at your blessings. Look at the environment that can cause us to praise God. Look at the sunrise this morning, the gift of His mercy, the food on the table, the restoration of your health, every blessing. I love that line. I'll pour and turn back to praise. Every blessing, I'll turn back to praise. Another practical lesson is this. Praise is not bound to a place, but to the Holy Spirit working in us. It's not bound to a particular place, but to the Holy Spirit in us. The Bible says we are temples or living examples and containers of God the Holy Spirit. And so God the Holy Spirit prompts us to praise. It doesn't matter if you're in church building or not. Wherever you are, we are prompted by God to praise. To paraphrase what one Christian author said, we can use all the right methods in our worship and our praise, but if we have not worshiped, we have not worshiped the Lord until the Holy Spirit touches our spirit. We're not really worshiping the Lord until the Holy Spirit touches our spirit. Number three, praise is despite our circumstances. Praise is despite our circumstances. You know, we can't say, "Well, you know, God, I'll praise you when I get money. I'll praise you when I get the job," or, "I'll praise you when I'm not so depressed or discouraged or not in this bad place. Then I'll praise you." But think of Jonah, belly of the whale, bad place. Praise God. Or think about David in the Psalms, being chased by Saul, hiding. He's under the threat of death. He writes many psalms praising God. How about Paul and Silas in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25? They're in prison, and about midnight, it says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were in the middle of a prison, and they're singing, and they're praising God. And that last point leads to this. Number four, praise gets passed along. Praise gets passed along. They were passing along their praise to the other prisoners. I love the fact that verse 4 says, "One generation will praise your works to another." I love the fact that we are a multi-generational church family so that we can pass on praise from generation to generation in our stories. What a blessing for you parents to pass on praise to your children. What a blessing for you grandparents to pass on praise to your children. What a blessing that we're writing our story of praise right now for the next generation, that we're praising the Lord. And finally, to go back to the beginning of our sermon, praise practice becomes an improvement and it can be permanent. It becomes an improvement, and it can be permanent. In other words, the more you practice praising God, from whom all blessings flow, the more you grow in your walk with Jesus. The more you become a fully devoted follower of Christ, and the more you practice it, the more it becomes permanent in your life as second nature to you, that at every time and every place and with all people, you are praising God. I desire to do well at my daughter's wedding dancing. I don't know how well that's going to go. I will let you know. But I know what I desire more than that even. As I move toward maturity, as we move toward maturity, I desire that we would have the healthy spiritual practice of praising our glorious God. I invite you today, if this is kind of new to you, this is kind of different to think about praise, I invite you to join us on the journey, an amazing journey, day in, day out, hour by hour, minute by minute, of finding ourselves practicing praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Would you pray with me now? Father, I praise you and thank you for the amazing gift you've given us of praise. Lord, you say you seek us to praise you. And whether we're shy, Lord, or outgoing, whether we love to sing or not so musical, whether we are going through difficult times or easy times, in all of it, Lord, it is part of what you call us to do, to praise you. And so, God, I pray today that we would have a new commitment to the healthy spiritual habit of praising you, to go through the Psalms, to read them, and to see what they praised you for, and then to echo it back to you. I praise you for this. God, I pray as a church family that we would never lose sight of how we are gathered together in the important part of praising you, that our focus, our efforts and energies would not be lost on you. God, we pray that you would keep us your praising people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.